Today's topic is entitled, What is Often Missing from Biblical Christian Teachings? As believers, we need to recognize a broader application of our sin nature beyond the physical realm. When we look at our biblical Christian systematic theology as presented on a Sunday morning and in discipleship classes, what's typically emphasized is a need to focus on the nature of God in Christ as presented in and through the Holy Spirit. In a constant battle with our personal sin nature, we're reminded to pray, to read the Bible, and fellowship with other believers as we repent of our sins and grow towards the Lord, sanctification. These are the most important aspects of the Christian life. However, this is not a complete picture of the obstacles to our spiritual walk. What is missing is a recognition of the influence and the need for protection from the evil side of the supernatural or spiritual realm. So what is the spiritual realm? We live in the natural or the physical realm. However, the Bible speaks to a much larger dimension which we typically cannot see, hear, or touch. The residents of this place include God, currently Christ, and the angels, as well as Satan and demons. Further, the supernatural or spiritual realm includes all of humanity since Adam and Eve, who have passed away, both the saved, 2 Corinthians 5:8, and the unsaved, Luke 16:33. There is much anecdotal evidence for the existence of the spiritual realm. However, for most who accept its reality, their basis rests on religious convictions centered on faith. The scripture refers to this as in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Logically, mankind, and especially non-believers, use our natural world as a foundation or framework for understanding the supernatural world for those who accept one. We expect God to conform to our view of fairness and morality rather than accepting His Word, the Bible, at face value. We expect scientific, cultural, and moral laws currently in place in our world to be directly applicable to the spiritual realm as well. This includes, for example, the notion of time, war, marriage, memory, evil, entropy, perfection, and many more. The reality is that the supernatural realm operates very differently than the natural. So without Scripture, at least as a partial guide, we fail miserably when attempting to understand the spiritual realm based on our physical experiences. So what is the objective of the spiritual realm? There are two forces and only two forces at work in the spiritual realm, good and evil. These forces are in constant battle with each other, and more significantly, their battle is not limited to the supernatural realm, but bleeds over into our world, the natural realm, on a regular and pervasive basis. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit who resides in the hearts of believers in the natural world, represent the Trinitarian leadership of good. Their soldiers are angels, which include a hierarchy of archangels, cherubim, and seraphim. They are likely millions of angels and are mentioned 273 times over 34 books in the Bible. Satan represents the evil side of the spiritual realm. He was Lucifer, the greatest angel, but due to his pride, fell into sin and took a third of the angels with him. Those fallen angels are referred to as demons. They also have an organizational structure. Though there is a clear battle between good and evil within the supernatural, and the recognition that that battle is also being waged in our physical realm, if one believes the Bible, we as Christians have already read the end of the book and know the final outcome of the war will be won by God. However, what is also clear is that knowing who wins the war does not predict who will win each of the battles we will take part in as we move through our lives. As mankind deals with our sin nature, much of that sin comes from our own evil heart. inherited back to Adam and Eve. However, what we need to recognize is there is also an attraction towards sin promoted by Satan and his demons, as he desires all to be lost forever in the lake of fire. Matthew 18:8. The Bible is written to mankind for our use. It intends to draw mankind to God in Christ for eternity. It also provides us with an instruction manual for life while we're on this earth. Therefore, the context of Scripture is focused on how the spiritual realm impacts humanity. So from the Bible, the objective of the spiritual realm is a battle between good and evil for the hearts of man. So what does the Bible say about the heavenly realms or heavenly places or the spiritual realm? Ephesians touches on this topic quite a bit, and I'll just skim quickly through a couple of the verses in Ephesians. Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and our Father, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Ephesians 2:6, "And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And Ephesians 6:12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." So how does man interface with God in the spiritual realm? Much of our communication with the godly side of the spiritual realm comes through prayer. However, fellowshipping with other believers, studying the Bible, and serving our Lord are other ways we communicate with God. Further, there are cultures in the world today that are drawn to and informed by God through both miracles and dreams. Interestingly, there are times when those in the spiritual realm have directly appeared to mankind. And here are some examples. Genesis 19:1, "The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. And when Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth." Matthew 4:3, "And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.'" When Peter was in jail in Acts 12:7, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side, woke him, and said, 'Get up quickly,' and the chains fell off his hands." And finally, Mary at Jesus' tomb, John 20:11 and 12, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet." So how does man interface with evil in the spiritual realm? Not only are God's angelic ambassadors active on earth, but Satan and his demons are also present. Some examples from the Bible include Matthew 12:22. "Then the demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him so that the man spoke and saw." The demoniac in Luke 8:30, "Jesus then asked him, 'What's your name?' And he said, 'Legion, for we are many demons who have entered him.'" The testing of Job by Satan is an example of the activity of Satan and his demons in the world in Job 1:6 through 12. Genesis 3:1-5 is a reference to Adam and Eve and the serpent as a reflection of Satan in the Garden of Eden. Matthew 8:29, "And behold, they cried out, 'What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the appointed time?'" That was the demons in the herd of pigs that ended up in the herd of pigs. Mark 5:9, "And Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' And he replied, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.'" And finally, 1 Timothy 4:1, "Now the Spirit expressly said that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons." So what is spiritual warfare? The battle between good and evil in both the supernatural and natural realm can be summed up with the phrase spiritual warfare. It's a battle for the heart of man, both in our current physical state as well as our final destination, which will be either heaven or hell, based on the decisions that we make while on this earth. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is a battle unlike any fought in the physical form. It's a battle over influencing mankind to do good or to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. The unusual nature of spiritual warfare from a supernatural perspective is a realization that no angel, either good or bad, can be killed. However, at the end of the age, as God presents the new heaven and the new earth, Satan and his demons will live forever sealed in the lake of fire. Matthew 25:41. It's important to note that in this battle between good and evil, man is not called to engage in the war directly. Instead, we're called to swear our allegiance with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, 1 Timothy 6:15, and to call on his power to protect us from the evil one. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Note that we're told to resist the devil rather than to attack the devil. Man is not equipped to be the attacker in spiritual battles. We are to use our full armor, Ephesians 6:10 through 18, presenting the Bible as our only offensive weapon, which is referenced as the sword. So evil comes in two sources, the supernatural realm and man's own sin nature. At the outset of this video, we offered the point that the focus of most biblical Christian teaching centers around the battle between our internal sin nature and our desire as believers to do the Lord's will. However, our intent in this conversation was to remind the Christian that we must also take into account the influence of Satan and his demons, who also desire to influence humanity. The question one could ask is, how do we know if we are being negatively influenced by our own sin nature or from an outside evil influence? The answer to that question is both difficult and somewhat irrelevant. Regardless of the source, the power to resist comes from a relationship with God by accepting Christ as our Lord and our Savior. So in conclusion, I offer 6 points that should always be part of our awareness of the potential for evil that exists all around us. First, we have an internal sin nature waging war against the Holy Spirit and God. Second, there is an external spiritual warfare between angels, demons, and man. Third, we need to be confident that the Bible confirms God wins the war between good and evil. Next, to remain balanced, we need to be careful not to see demons under every rock, but accept responsibility for our own actions. Next, we can impact spiritual warfare within and outside of us through prayer, fellowship with believers, and a study of God's Word. And finally, 6, we know God will win the war, but we need to be on guard that Satan can win many battles as we move through our lives. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. God bless you as you serve him.